Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Friday, December 19th. It is a Friday, just to remind you in case you didn't know. And I doubt people don't know when it's Friday, huh, Jen?
No, people wait for Friday.
Yeah, huh?
This week, though, went so fast.
It did, didn't it?
I think so.
Yeah, next week will go faster with the holiday and everything.
I'm sure,
right? And it's your birthday on Monday.
It is.
Well, happy birthday.
Thank you.
Since we're not going to see you on Monday.
Yeah.
And you're turning 30, so it's a big... It's a big mark on the road.
It is.
To get to where you want to go.
Any advice?
Let's see. At 30, yeah, enjoy your friggin' life. Live it to the fullest, you know?
I'm working on it.
Yeah. Huh?
I believe that, too.
You seem to be enjoying your life.
Thanks.
Yeah. You seem to be a happy person, right?
I am.
Yeah.
And I feel even happier as I'm approaching 30. I feel like... just things don't matter anymore.
Really?
Only the important things and like everything sort of is put in perspective.
Yeah.
I'm not here to please everybody. I can't please everybody.
Right. I know. Well, you've learned some lessons, so that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm ready.
Do you have any family coming into town?
I do. My mom gets in on Sunday.
Oh, wow.
And so I'm going to celebrate my birthday with her and my best friend on Monday. And then we have family dinner with my cousins and my uncle and my aunt and some other friends Monday night at my uncle's house.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Pretty excited.
Yeah, I'm happy for you. Birthdays are cool. Do you make it like last a whole week like some people do?
Well,
or a whole month?
Unintentionally so, because I think people forget when my actual birthday is because I always celebrate it at a different time every year. I celebrate it in December, but it's just usually whenever everyone is in town and can come together and celebrate.
Right.
So it's not usually on the actual day.
Yeah, because it's right before Christmas. A lot of people are not around.
And so one best friend threw me a birthday last Sunday, then my aunt's throwing me one this Saturday, and then my real one is on Monday. So because everyone's throwing me birthdays, that's why it's extending, but not really because of me.
Not by design.
No.
Okay, well, that's cool, because I think it's pretty... Well, what's the word I'm looking for? I don't know. Bizarre, I think, you know, to have like a whole month be your birthday.
I think it's
come
obnoxious.
On, you know? Yeah, I mean, we're not kids anymore.
Right.
You know?
But since people are throwing them for me and I appreciate, you know, their love of me and celebrating me, then of course I'm like, great.
Yeah,
let's
it's
do
not
it.
Like you are planning this, you know?
No.
So that's what I'm saying.
And I'm having quite the like female centric active birthday this year, which is funny because when I was, you know, trying to think of what I wanted to do for my 30th birthday, I was like, maybe just a bunch of activities that I've always wanted to do, or like, you know, different things that mean different things to me in going into my 30s. So like one birthday my best friend threw was a yoga birthday, and that's kind of like my spirituality and my fitness and all of that, and it represented that. And then now my aunt's throwing me one at S Factor for doing pole dancing, and that's like bringing my femininity into my 30s and having fun and letting loose and also being surrounded by girlfriends, which I think is so important.
Yeah Well, maybe you're looking too much into it, though. I mean, the whole like pole dancing thing and bringing your femininity, I don't know, that's pretty interesting.
You know what, it matters to her because that became such a big part of her life. My aunt, and so she wants me to see what it's like and also have that experience. So
it makes her feel feminine and things like that?
It brings out something in you, I guess, that you kind of push down in this like business centric world, and you know, as females, we're kind of living in a man's world, at least trying to still like succeed and be the CEOs that we all want to be. And like Girl Boss came out this year, and all of this stuff is starting to shine a light on what we can do and still be perceived as respected and business oriented and powerful.
Right.
But also sort of having a control over it. And we're going to show you our power in our way.
I see. Okay. So I shouldn't do pole dancing because it's too feminine.
Probably.
Okay. I'll stay.
There
away
are
from
men
there.
That do pole dancing. You
Come
know,
on, I don't
thing,
know.
So. I don't know about the classes yet for them, but there's definitely S Factor, and I think it's for females.
Yeah. So. It should be for females.
Right.
I can't see guys doing that. But then again, you know, I mean, it looks like a gym, you know, like gym moves and stuff like that.
So. Well, there's a lot of strength in it. Like right. having, I don't know how to hold myself up. I have like no upper body strength.
Right.
So to be able to like hold onto that bar and do these things takes skill and athleticism.
We'll take some pictures. We want to see.
I think it will be documented. We'll see what happens. And then Monday I'll just be with my family. So that's just a regular occurrence.
That's cool.
Yeah.
It's nice your mom's coming in to visit you and stuff, you know.
Yes. She was set on that. She could not miss my 30th birthday.
Yeah, huh? That's very cool.
Yeah.
So let's see. So you were born, what, 85? 84. It's the end of the year.
Yep.
Wow. Pretty cool.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember what I did in 1984. I remember when people looking forward to it because there was the 1984 book by Orwell. And, you know, it was like predicting a police state and,
right.
you know. And
Big
no
Brother.
Freedom, yeah, and no freedom of speech and all that
stuff. Which is so ironic because that's happening right now.
Yeah, that's true in a way, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess. And that was the year that the Macintosh was released also. They had that famous commercial with the woman running towards the huge screen and throwing a hammer at it. And it was sort of like, you know, fighting IBM sort of a thing.
Oh, interesting. I never saw it.
You never saw
it?
I
was born.
You should look it up. Yeah, on YouTube. It's pretty. It's a pretty fun commercial.
Cool.
And it was memorable for sure. So that was a date. I mean, that was the year the Mac was introduced in January during the Super Bowl.
Oh, wow.
So now you know.
Now I know. I got to see what else happened in 1984.
Yeah. Let's see. I was 24 years old. I was living my life. I was living it out pretty good. Let's see. What did I do? Oh, yeah. We were here. I was living in Vegas before. I lived there for about 5 years.
Oh, cool.
So then I moved here in 1980 and did my 20s, 30s, 40s, and 50s now here, you know. So yeah. I've lived here a long time. And but the 80s were cool, you know, cool music. Well, you probably don't remember much because you were growing up then.
I love 80s music.
Yeah?
I do. I really do. And I mean, I've been to so many 80s themed parties at this point
uh-huh.
that I feel like I lived through them as like an adult just because now I know all the songs and all the trends back then.
I know. A lot of people do those parties. You know, I had to go to a party like that too. And I felt ridiculous. But it's fun, I guess, dressing up.
Yeah.
You know? I'm not into it, but I did it that day and... it was okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not big on theme parties.
I know, but you got to feel part of it, you know.
Right.
Otherwise, you just go and people look at you like, why aren't you dressed up?
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Why'd you make me dress up?
Yeah.
Can't I wear my clothes? It's not Halloween.
No, it's not.
I don't even like Halloween. So
I know. I'm not crazy about it either. You know, I think it's a children's holiday. I don't think it's for... I don't think adults look great putting on stupid costumes.
Yeah, I just don't have a desire to wear costumes. Or just like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe my imagination isn't so great.
I don't know if about that, you know. It just depends on...
the person.
I guess, yeah. And how you view it and stuff, you know. I just always think if I dress ridiculous and then I get pulled over by a cop, what am I going to do then, you know?
Yeah. Well, you're obviously at a theme party.
Yeah. So in a few minutes, we're going to have a guest calling in. She's an inspirational health and nutrition speaker. And we're going to talk to her about living a better life.
Great.
Yeah. Always room for that.
Always. Especially going into the new year and people making resolutions.
Right. And I notice that there's a lot of changes. People make a lot of changes in December.
Yeah.
You know, like in planning for the new year or whatever. You see people changing plans all the time, you know, and it's interesting to watch, you know. I mean, it affects business and everything. But people, I think they stop for a moment and take inventory of what's going on in their lives, you know.
It's true. This is the month to do that. Do you have any resolutions that you've got ready?
I really don't, you know. I mean, the thing is, if I need to change something, I'll change it without a resolution.
Right.
But,
I only have one.
Yeah.
And it only occurred because of Ty, when Ty was on.
Really?
Yeah. So, because I've sort of done the changes throughout, you know, the year and as they happen, the only one I want to consciously make is to read more.
Oh, really?
That's it.
Wow, that'd be cool.
Yeah, I do everything else, like working out and, you know, spending time with family, seeing friends. And
watching a lot of TV.
Exactly. I'm going to cut down. I guess that'll be part of my reading, is cut down on reality TV and read more.
Yeah.
About reality.
But yeah, and it is cool. You learn a lot of different things. It keeps your mind stimulated all the time.
Yep.
And like you said, you know, if you don't like part of a book, just skip it. You know, I sometimes get stuck on the boring parts and then I want to give up the book.
Right.
But I think the key, like you said, is just skip the parts that are not interesting.
Yeah. I mean, I sometimes also find that my mind wanders. Like I'll be reading and then all of a sudden I'll be thinking about something completely different. And I'm like, wait, did I even read what was on the page? I think my eyes were looking at the words, but I was not even taking it in.
It does happen sometimes, I have to admit. But I think the more you read, the more trained you'll be not to get distracted and things like that.
I think yoga will also help in that, because I'm learning to kind of control my mind and where it goes.
Yeah, yeah. How long have you done yoga now?
I think it's been like 3 months.
Oh, okay. So it's pretty new for you. What made you start it?
Well, I quit my job, my day job that I was at, and then I had surgery on, like a stupid surgery, on a cyst that I had removed from my ovary. Which was fine. It was the best case scenario that could have happened, because it could have gone like
a lot worse.
Right. I could have had to have like an ovary removed or like a fallopian tube removed. It could have gone crazy.
Wow.
But I was fine. It was the size of an orange, which is, if you think about it. Yeah.
Jeez.
I know. Not cancerous. Wow, knock on wood.
Very lucky.
Thank you. So then I was sort of like, well, I'm going to eat, pray, love my life right now. I don't have a job. I mean, I'm hosting and doing like all that stuff. But like my world is sort of turned upside down in a good way. So now I can do whatever I want.
Right.
So I went away with a girlfriend for a week. We went to like Arrowhead. And then I started doing yoga and started teaching myself French, and I was just like, I'm gonna do so much for me that it's gonna be like just gen time.
Cool.
So yoga kind of caught up with me and became something I really love.
So you really love it. It's good that you do, you know.
Yeah.
Because people go to the gym all the time and shit like that, and they don't really like it.
Was doing that, and I would go, you know, 4 or 5 times a week to the gym, and I go with my best friend, and we just had our routine. But then I found yoga, and I was like, this is my sport, and this is my workout.
Oh, wow.
And this is the way that I stay sane, because it really does that for me. Everyone has their thing and enjoys their thing. For me, that's it.
Wow, good. So I'm glad you found it.
Thanks, me too.
Yeah, that's
good. It only
good.
Took almost 30 years.
Well, yeah, maybe it'll take me longer, but maybe I'll discover it one day too. I've done some yoga before when I was at a gym. And, it's hard. It's hard. You know, it's slow movements. You got to control your body. Yeah. I would have a lot of work if I got back into it. I'd have a lot of work to do to catch up. Yeah.
It happens quickly, though. You'd be surprised. If you commit to doing it, let's say, I don't know, I was doing it every day, basically.
Really? Wow.
Just because I love the teacher that I go to, Ursula Vari at Crunch. She also teaches other places. But I loved it so much. You have to love your teacher. I think that's really it. Otherwise, it's just like kind of hippy-dippy and like weird and like another language almost. But I wanted to go every day because it was offered at my gym and part of my membership. So I was like, well, I'm going to take advantage as long as I can.
There you go.
And then I started getting better at it, and then I started liking it more. And I'm more comfortable with discomfort, and I'm more patient, and I can focus.
Wow.
Yeah.
Really? So it helps in all these ways.
Yeah, and it also makes like running easier, because I used to hate running. I was like, this is so boring. And I would get cramps, and I was like, why do I have to keep doing this at this pace? This is stupid. But now I'm just like, I zone out, and I'm like, I'm going to do this for 30 minutes, and it's going to be easy, and I just do it.
Good for you.
Thanks.
Good for you. Do you do other workout too, like spinning and things like
Not
that?
Not really.
No, huh? I know. Well, you don't have to, I guess, when you do the yoga.
Yeah, I love yoga that much that I'm like, yoga or die.
Wow. Now, do you find that there's more women doing yoga than men in the classes you go to?
Yes, but I don't know why that is. I go, or maybe it's, I don't know, Crunch.
Right.
For instance, they, you know, I don't know what their membership demographics are, but I've seen a lot of men in yoga, and they're great at it.
Okay, cool. Well, hold that thought, because our guest is calling
in.
So let's go ahead and take this call. Good morning. You're on the air. Is this Nancy?
Yes, hello.
Hi, Nancy. Welcome to the show. This is Nancy Addison, and you're an inspirational health and nutrition speaker. You're an author. You're a television show guest, columnist, and radio show host. You do a lot of things, Nancy.
Yes, I do.
Where are you calling us from this morning?
I'm calling from Dallas, Texas.
Oh, in Dallas. Wow.
Nice.
That's why you couldn't come in, because I thought, well, let's have Nancy come in. They said, well, it would be a long commute for her. So we figured a phone call is in order here.
Yeah.
So, Nancy, tell us about some of the things that you do.
I'm finishing up my next book called Raising Healthy Children, which is going to be released on January 8th.
That's a book?
And yes.
Okay.
It's a nutrition cookbook, but it's also full of tips and natural remedies and non-toxic cleaners and just a myriad of things. People have told me it's like the encyclopedia of health.
Right. All the good stuff.
Yeah. There you go. So, go ahead.
I do health counseling for people. I give cooking classes. I am an organic gardener, and so I'm designing organic gardens for people and working with their landscape people in order to do that.
Wow.
And I'm working on another couple of books. One's on organic gardening called From Earth to Table that I'm hoping will be out this spring. And another one called The Healing Diet, which has a lot of my recipes I used with Larry Hagman when I worked with him when he had cancer and diabetes. And that should be out next fall.
Oh, wow. Very cool. And so now So you do this thing, which you call the Wildlife Rehabilitation Council. You volunteer with them.
Yes, I am a real animal lover. And I guess 10 or 15 years ago, I became a certified, licensed wildlife rehabilitator. And so I work very closely with the Parks and Wildlife Department and the Police Department. And when they get wildlife calls or when they get hurt animals or animals that have been hit by cars or whatever, they will contact me and bring them to me, and I will rehab them. And if they're able to be re-released into the wild, I will do that. And if they're not, I use them as an education animal to speaking engagements for, scout troops or children's groups and educate them on the importance and value of wildlife and how fragile they are really in our environment and how, they're not invading our territory, really. We're invading theirs.
Right.
And then I also help train the police departments on how to respond to wildlife calls.
Oh, wow. So what do you mean wildlife call? Like when people have them illegally or something? Or
something comes into your backyard?
Well, I mean, that is a problem. People keeping animals that are wild because many times they don't know the proper diet and the animal will end up with like metabolic bone disease or something. I mean, that's a really painful death. But many times people will just call the police department not knowing what to do. Say a raccoon is trapped in their chimney or a possum is, living under the house. And they may not realize, quite how to handle that in the best way possible in order to protect the animal, but also to protect the people and to take care of the situation.
Right. So this is cool because these are kind of not related. I mean, you work with health and happier lifestyle, and then you work with animals as well, which I think is very cool. How do you reconcile these two things together? I mean, how did you – are these like two different interests that you have and you put them together? How does it work?
Well, I work very – holistically, and I believe we're all connected, and this is a big web of life. And whenever somebody or something in our web is hurting, then we're all hurting. And so, you know, like, I'm an organic environmental expert, and then also the animals are a big part of our lives. Right. What would we be without the animals in our environment? And so educating people on the importance and value of the contributions of, you know, just for instance, I learned 27 years ago that the bees were going extinct, specifically the very large bumblebees, the ones that, you know, are a big part of our food sources, right?
Right, right?
And I learned that they were literally dying, going extinct by starvation because the GMO crops that are being grown so extensively in the U.S., are many of the flowers, almost all of the flowers, have no nectar in them. So the bees were literally starving to death. And this is still going on today. I don't know if you've been to a florist lately, and a lot of the flowers, they don't have a fragrance.
Wow.
And so they're being planted in all these cities by the landscapers in enormous amounts. And so the pollinators are going extinct because of this. Also, the intense poisons they put on them are breaking down the immune system of the bees that, you know, are around them. And then what's more, what I would consider alarming is that these plants are escaping into the wild, and they're interbreeding with wild plants, and it's destroying our ecosystem. So I think it's, you know, extremely important for all of us as, you know, people who want our children to survive and our grandchildren to survive in a healthy world, we need to regulate these genetically modified plants. We need to make sure our food is labeled. We need to make sure that we are protecting our environment and supporting the farmers that are not growing GMO plants and not harming our ecosystem. So I believe it's all intertwined. And these toxins in our environment that get into our water, they get into our air, the BT toxin that built into these GMO plants that literally punches holes in the creatures who eat on the plants. Stomachs have been proven by scientific tests in Canada that they're actually eating holes in people's internal organs as well.
Wow.
Oh,
and
no.
That is an extremely alarming fact that has been recently put into scientific form, and we need to address these things. And so part of my mission, I feel, is an important mission, is to help educate people on the value of our environment and the creatures that live in it, that support our lives. And, you know, what are we without clean air and clean water? Well, a lot of these huge amounts of poisons that are dumped on these crops, they end up in our water systems, in our air. And we need to, you know, really become knowledgeable about this so we can protect ourselves, our children, and our grandchildren.
Right. So you recommend people eat what? Organic stuff? And stay away from all these poisons.
Well, one of the, you know, just another thing other than the BT toxin eating holes in your stomach, and also they've proven that when it gets in your intestines, you actually become your own pesticide factory. So it turns your own body into a poison maker, which is quite alarming. And the U.S. Department of Agriculture has estimated that 70% of the food on the market in the U.S. today is literally got genetically modified food in it. So, you know, we wonder why we have such a high rate of disease. Well, you know, that may be a very contributing factor. And then also when foods are grown non-organically, when they have huge amounts of chemical fertilizers and pesticides put on it, well, one thing is if the plant is getting its nutrition from what's in the water and the ground and the air, well, if it's full of poison and toxic substances, what's going to be in that food?
Right. You're absolutely
so
right.
We need those toxins on the ground. It destroys the sulfur and the chromium in the soil. And so what does that mean? Well, those are very valuable nutrients that we all need. And when you don't have that in your food, then you're not, the sulfur is critical because it carries oxygen into your cells. Uh-huh. And disease really cannot thrive in an oxygenated environment. So if we're not getting that sulfur and we're not getting the oxygen into our cells, you know, well, maybe that's contributing to this enormous level of disease in our country today.
Right.
And then the crap now carries the glucose from your bloodstream into your muscles. So yeah. What does that mean? Well, maybe that, since people are not getting that in their diet, then maybe that is contributing to the high rate of diabetes.
Oh, wow.
And so food has those nutrients in them. And also those farmers are not contributing to the pollution and degradation of the water and the soil and the air. And so, you know, every time we buy something, we are voting.
Yeah.
And we need to, you know, make sure we're supporting the farmers that are not poisoning our environment and who are growing food that has healthy nutrients in it that really support our health.
Right. You know, I mean, it occurs to me, you go to the grocery store and stuff, and it's full of food, but you never smell food there, you know? It's like nothing has any smell to it. And I think that's part of this. Everything's become like plastic, you know, everything we eat.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know.
That's absolutely right. And I'll tell you, a lot of these nutrients are very fragile. And once you process them or even store them, you destroy things like the sulfur in that food. So eating more fresh, organic food is really paramount to your health. And when people add more of those foods to their diet, they find that their health improves dramatically. And so, you know, just, you know, go to the farmer's market, meet local farmers, meet and support the ones that are growing organic food. And also, I really recommend telling your congressman or your senator, you know, how you feel about getting the genetically modified foods labeled, because I think that's critical. Because once you force them to do that, I think it's going to dramatically change a lot of the things about the food industry.
Yeah, there'll be a lot more awareness of what's going on. Nancy, it sounds fascinating. Do you have a website where people can get a hold of you and find out more?
Sure. My website is organichealthylifestyle.com.
Okay. Organichealthylifestyle.com. You guys can find out more information about Nancy's work and what she does and everything. And so you also work with one-on-one, right?
Yes, I do.
Okay, sounds great.
And I enjoy a lot.
Yeah, sounds great. Nancy, thank you so much for calling in this morning. Very fascinating stuff, very relevant. And I know that I'm sometimes concerned about all I put in my body. And I think we really need to be conscious of what's going on. And also, like you said, you know, protect the environment, protect our animals, our wildlife. And so you're doing noble work, and we really appreciate it, Nancy.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, the connection was bad. I don't know what.
Yeah.
I don't know what was going on there, but that's cell phones for you, and it's hard to ask people to be on landlines because there aren't any anymore.
Right.
You know,
those are like obsolete at this point. Yeah, I kind of want one just to be old school.
Yeah. Huh? I know. You know what I noticed? I still have, like, in my kitchen, a phone with an answering machine sitting there, and I'm like, I haven't even noticed this thing in years.
It's like
it's
an antique.
Sitting here. Yeah. And it's sitting here. The maid cleans it when she comes, puts it back there. And I didn't even notice it's there. I'm like, why do I still have it here, you know?
I don't know, but I kind of want
3 years.
Yeah, I want one. I want a voicemail. I want people to call me, see if I'm home, uh-huh. Maybe stop by.
Yeah.
Like from the olden days. I mean, I don't even remember that time, but
I know when people would just stop by without calling.
Right.
Yeah.
I remember when I was a kid and I lived in Miami and we lived in a gated community. The kids would all get home from school and that's what they would do. They'd go to your house, see if you're home, ask your mom, like, you know, is Jen home? Can she come out and play? And we wouldn't really play because I'm a girl, but we'd like go into the street. I think we'd like rollerblade maybe or like talk.
Yeah, girls talk.
So I kind of wish that was still a time when people would like knock on your door and you're like, who's there?
I know. When I was young, I mean, friends would just come over. My parents' friends or family is something, you know. It's like, hey, what's going on? Showing up at the door. Today, it's rude to do that.
Yeah, like, no. Don't come unannounced. I need to put makeup on.
Right, or whatever. I need to be prepared for you.
Right. Exactly.
Oh, wow. I guess Obama is flying to Hawaii for Christmas vacation. Did you know that?
No, but how nice for him.
I know. I wish I was going, man. I love Hawaii. Have you been?
No, that's on my list.
Yeah. You've got to go, man. You're a lot closer now than you were in Miami.
But still so far. Isn't yeah. it 6 hours or something?
Yeah, 5-hour flight, yeah.
That, I mean, that you could go cross country.
Yeah, you can.
I'd rather go to Hawaii.
But it's worth it. Yeah, it's worth it.
I'll go anywhere.
Yeah.
I have a friend that was like, do you want to go to Thailand? I have a free place to stay. And I was like, yeah.
Yeah, you'll go to Thailand.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, I just had some friends go there and they said they had a lot of fun. I'm not crazy about going to these places. I don't know, man. They got some weird laws. They're very strict in some things, mm-hmm. you know. And then, you know, all that, like, that sex industry there and stuff. I'm not, you know, there's a lot of children involved and stuff, and I just don't condone it, you know.
Yeah.
So I think I would feel uncomfortable seeing that.
Interesting.
But you may not have to see it, you know. I mean, there's, like, islands and stuff you can right. go to. And that's where many tourists go to.
Yeah, because apparently, like, the flight is the only thing that's expensive. Once you get right. there, everything's pretty cheap.
Right, yeah. And that's a long flight. I mean, yeah. I hate to think how long that one takes.
And you don't like flying, so.
No, I'm not crazy about it anymore. No. I used to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay, well, let's see what's going on. You know, we were talking yesterday about Instagram and the lost followers and stuff.
Yeah.
You thought you had it bad losing 100,
Justin
huh?
Bieber lost 3.5 million.
No, you see, that's the thing. I don't think he needed all these fake ones. I just think that, you know, we were talking about this is that, you know, you said fake ones follow a lot of people, but not many people follow them. So that's the thing. I mean, it's like they... You know, maybe they choose to follow him, even if it's a fake account. It doesn't mean that he bought it.
I don't know. I would guess his team might have bought them over time, because I've even seen people that lost a lot of followers yesterday start buying them again.
Really?
Yeah, and yeah. building it back up to look like, no, I didn't lose that many. Like, I'm back to 7,000 or whatever. But I think that it's a strategy of publicity teams and your marketing team to make you look like you have a following so that right. people think you have it's the velvet rope theory.
Right.
You know, like if people are waiting outside of a club, it must be a good club.
Right.
Gotta wait to get in. So it's choosy and only certain people get in. Right.
But it seems like many celebrities have done this. So, I mean, do you really think they're like competing among themselves for millions and millions of followers?
Yeah, because it shows your level of success and fame and and other people will follow because it's like, well, if all these people are following you, I should follow you.
Right.
You know, you want to be in the know. And that's the cool thing about social media, actually, is that it brings you closer to these people than you ever once were.
Right.
It makes them like part of your life. Like, they're right there in your phone.
Right. And you see, that's the thing. I mean, I don't follow, like, big figures and stuff like that because I don't really care, you know. And what happens is this, is that, you know, when you have a lot of, like, when you follow a lot of Twitter people, then you get in your feed all kinds of things that don't really matter from people you don't care about and things
like
that.
Well, some people care.
You know? Yeah.
I don't also care. I'm with you, Sam.
Yeah.
I don't care.
But, you know, on Facebook, I've got, like, 4,000 friends or something. Most of them I don't even know. But it comes from, you know, being in the public eye and everything.
Yeah.
So people want to be friends with you. But at the same time, I'm like, well, the people that really matter, their posts get lost in all the stuff that I don't care about.
Which is why on Instagram, I try and follow just people that I really want to see what's happening in their lives.
Right.
Because that's the place that it's, like, controlled. Facebook is now, I can't. It's too much information. I don't even look at it unless it's somebody's birthday.
Really?
It's just too much. Because people also rapid-fire post. So it's like a million posts per person. And if I have 1,200, I don't even know how many friends I have. But
right.
Then they're posting photos and comments and this and that. It's like, I can't keep up. with all of that. So Instagram for me is my one place where I really like keep in touch with people and see what's going on with them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's cool. You see, I thought Instagram is just for pictures and stuff, so I don't really use it. You know, I don't communicate with people
there. Right. I mean, for us, I guess, for the people that I follow, it's, you know, the pictures of what they're doing in their businesses or what they're doing with their friends or family, right, or if they have a kid, or it's sort of more intimate.
Right.
I think than Facebook or Twitter, where it's just blasting your thoughts all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't know. I like Facebook best, but that's just me. You know,
right.
I mean, I'm comfortable there. Twitter is too anonymous for me. You know, I mean, it's like you follow the people, they don't even know you exist and things like that, you know.
Yeah.
But if you want to broadcast to the world, that's the way to do it.
Definitely.
You know, because on Facebook, you're pretty much limited to your friends.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I am
a Twitter fan, though. My best friend works at Twitter. So,
oh, yeah?
Yeah, she does the talent partnerships. So she teaches me things about it that, like, I didn't necessarily know before, and best practices and how to use it to promote things. Sam, you have a lot of Twitter followers.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot.
Yeah.
It's good.
For the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Yeah, but I don't use it, you know. I mean, people just, you know, they follow. I don't know why, but, I mean, with all the listeners we have, I'm not surprised. But again, I don't tweet that much.
Right. You could promote really the guests. You could.
Yeah, but I do that on Facebook, you see?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not crazy about Twitter. That's what I'm saying. But yeah, what the hell, you know? They're saying Kim Kardashian's followers, Taylor Swift lost a mere
725,000. Wow.
A mere.
I mean, that just makes everybody else that lost, you know, hundreds look, you know, like, I don't know, peanuts in comparison.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm
it's
still
all
sad about my 200.
Oh, relax.
I'm building them back up. I got five since yesterday.
But you can see it's meaningless, man. I mean,
of course.
You know, it's like everybody hacks everything, you know.
But also, it's like everybody wants to be famous in their own way. So, like, if you have a lot of followers, you feel like you have some kind of clout. There's even a site called Clout, and it, based on your social media outreach, it will give you free things so that you promote it on your feed.
Right. And, it gets you, like, a score, right?
Yeah.
You get a score for all the followers you have and all that stuff.
Right.
I know. I haven't checked it in years. I should check it out and see.
Well, if you don't tweet a lot, you probably don't have a high score.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, so they look at how much you tweet and stuff.
Well, it's the engagement level, too, not just how many people follow you.
Right. Okay, well,
it's your impact, basically.
Twitter at all. But yeah, Facebook is where I communicate. Anyway, so much for that. Let's see. There's this question here. I saw this yesterday and we never got around to it. By the way, your friend Lauren was here yesterday.
Yes.
And she was a lot of fun.
Thanks.
You know,
she is fun.
Yeah, so you guys, so I imagine your show is pretty cool. I was planning to watch some of it this weekend, maybe.
Okay.
Watch a couple episodes and
let
see
me know
what you
think.
Guys are going through. If you guys haven't heard, you can check out twodrunkgirls.net, and you can listen to Jen, and you can watch you too. It's on video, right?
Yeah, it's all video.
So Jen and Lauren, and you can catch that and see what the hell they're talking about while they're drinking.
Yep.
Yeah. So anyway, so she was here yesterday. I didn't get to it, but they're asking the question, is it okay to be naked in front of your kids? Now, we all know that, you know, in a family and stuff, you know, people are not shy of each other. And, you know, and people take off their clothes. They go in the shower or whatever, you know. But the question is, you know, so today people are very uptight about all this and nudity and all this stuff. And so they're asking the question, you know. So let's analyze this for a moment.
Okay.
You know, the thing is this, is that I think it's okay. Like, my mom would have me, like secure her bra from the back or something, right? So I would see her boobs and stuff. But, you know, I don't know how much that affected me. I mean, I do love boobs, but, you know, but then again, everybody does, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know if that had anything to do with it. But I don't think it really hurt me in any way, you know? I mean, I was playing doctor at an early age with all the girls in the neighborhood and stuff. But, you know, but that was it, you know? So I don't recall. I mean, I may have seen my parents, maybe my dad, naked, but my mom always made sure we didn't see her naked, you know. So so it depends, I think, on what's going on. But how should society view this? I don't know. What do you think?
I don't know either. I think I personally, like, to a certain age, if I had kids, you know, probably wouldn't care because they don't remember things anyway. But then after that, like, you have to wash them. You have to, you know, whatever you do with them. But I think after a certain age, it might be inappropriate.
Yeah.
Like, I would just be uncomfortable
for
them.
Yeah. You see, that's the thing. And that's what some parents are saying. I would be uncomfortable for my kids having to deal with it.
Yeah.
But I'm okay with it. Because many people, I mean, face it, many people do walk around naked at home, you know.
Yeah.
I don't get it, but some people do. And some people are nudists and, you know, they're exhibitionists, whatever. Or they just feel comfortable with their body and don't feel comfortable in clothes. But I think that there's a certain amount of responsibility you have to take when you have kids around.
Right.
You know, because
and also they're going to pick up your habits. So, do you really want your kid to become a nudist and like not know when it's appropriate to like put like
well,
take off all the clothes?
If you're a nudist, you probably don't care,
right? But then they also have to like be part of society, and
right.
I think what indecency, like public indecency, is a thing. So
yeah, but I don't know that you necessarily go from that to this. You know,
no.
To public indecency. I can't imagine that would happen if you. You know, I mean, once you grow up and stuff, you understand what's
do you?
What's
but
wrong
I, there are people
right.
that have very little social cues and do very awkward things. And it's like, where did you learn that behavior? Why would you do that? I don't understand. Even down to the point where, like, if somebody bumps into me and they don't say excuse me, I will say excuse me to them. Or, like, I'm sorry for my presence in your life. Like, sorry I'm in your way. Manners.
Yeah, sorry for existing.
Right. Sorry, I'm not sorry for being here. You leave. So I think, you know, kids do learn a lot. There's that nature-nurture thing. And if we can make them as socially normal as possible.
Yeah.
Where it's not going to hurt them in their future and get them in trouble or make them uncomfortably unique
right.
to other people. Yes, everybody's special in their own way and like comfortable with their own things and should be comfortable in their own skin. Should we make them weird?
Yeah, well,
not weird,
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. But the thing is that I wonder what teachers think or do if a kid says, hey, you know, my parents walk around naked. I mean, is that like illegal? I don't think it is.
I don't think
it's
so
your
either.
Kids, you know? I mean, what the hell?
Right. It's just also why? Why be naked?
Yeah.
When you have clothes.
That's a big question.
Why be naked?
Right.
Is it because, is it like gratuitous? Is it sexual? Is it just because you really like being free? But then maybe just go live in a nudist colony.
Yeah.
Like go live in areas like that.
But you're at home. I mean, you should be able to do whatever you want at home. You know, what are you going to do? Take your kids to a nudist colony?
Yeah. I think so. I don't know.
I don't think that's legal.
I don't know the answer to this.
I know. It's like, you know, I mean, today, you know, they show like pictures of a baby and, you know, taking their first bath or something.
Right.
And it's like people are protesting, you know. It's like, come on, it's a little baby, you know.
But at the same time, that baby didn't say, I want to be naked all over Instagram.
That's true. That's true.
I don't know. I think, I mean, I also sometimes feel uncomfortable seeing other people's babies naked. I'm like.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, though. But that's because it's these times now, you
right.
know. We've become, like, so, like, scared of all these things and stuff. And just afraid of our bodies and our thoughts and, you know. I mean,
I feel violated
like
for the baby. Because I'm like, that baby didn't get to choose.
Right.
Like, the baby also doesn't know. But that baby didn't get to choose if it's naked or not.
Right.
In public.
Yeah.
It's one thing if it's not in public. Like, the baby can be naked all at once. I don't think I wore a shirt for half my life. Like,
yeah.
When I was little, I was like, when I was at the pool, because we were always at the pool in Miami, I don't think I wore a top most of the time. But I was a baby, and,
right.
like, I would take it off because I was a kid and just took whatever I wanted and did whatever I wanted. But I don't know that I wanted pictures of it all over Facebook.
Right.
Had my mom asked.
Yeah.
But Facebook wasn't around then, so.
Yeah. No, that's true. I mean, on Facebook, it doesn't belong there at all, you know. But, I mean, you show it to other people and stuff, you know, people might look at you funny. And that's because we've been, I think, brainwashed into all this stuff, coerced into thinking that these things are not okay, you know. I mean, there's a difference between nudity and sex anyway, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, a person can be nude and they're not having sex, so, like, you know, what's wrong with that? But yeah, I mean, we've become very, very sensitive to these things, I think.
I think also I'm more sensitive to the age difference and, like, the adults and the kids.
Right.
Like, if you want to go be naked all you want around people that are, you know, like adults,
yeah,
fine.
Like your age.
Right.
Yeah.
If kids are all naked, like, little kids take baths together, I don't think that's sexual. I think they're just both naked in the tub and they're,
right,
like, androgynous,
right,
at,
I mean,
that point.
That's what I mean, you know, but, you know, people take issue with that. So
right.
What are you going to do? All right. Well, we beat that one to death. Did you hear about this woman that had in her will that when she dies, she wants her dog to be euthanized?
I saw that.
And buried with her. I mean, that's bizarre. You know, why would you do something like this? It's so selfish. And but people are protesting this and they're not killing the dog. They're
good.
Saving the dog.
Good.
Yeah, I know.
You can't just kill to kill.
Yeah.
That's the whole point of it being illegal.
I know, exactly. And the thing is that just because it's in her will doesn't mean anything.
Right. It's a life. You can't, like, oh, I'm going to die, so go kill my cousins.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I don't want them to be alive either then.
I know.
You can't do that. It's a life.
Yeah.
You're not
God. It's a
life.
And, yeah. Exactly.
And it's not money.
And there's no consent from the animal either.
Right.
So, yeah.
It's bizarre.
I know. People are crazy, man.
They're
Why
so
would
crazy.
They do this? Especially in their wills, you know. Some people have really crazy shit in their wills.
I know. Oh, you know? I started watching Foxcatcher last night. That is crazy.
Is it?
Yeah. I didn't know what it was about at all.
I know. I don't know what it's about either.
It's about this guy, John DuPont,
uh-huh,
who came from a ton of money and a very wealthy family, and he was schizophrenic and basically crazy. So he became obsessed with these two brothers that were wrestlers and gold medalists in 1984, actually. 84.
Oh, wow.
So he wanted to have them win the 88 Olympics in Seoul.
Mm-hmm.
So he started coaching them because he had tons of money. So he just put together a wrestling team in, I think, Pennsylvania. And he became so obsessed with them that he had them live in their house and, like, couldn't really see the difference between working with them and them being, like, family or, like, his obsession or their friendship, or even though it was all basically paid for.
Yeah.
And this was all just to please his mother, who was never pleased.
Yeah.
So he was like, look what I'm doing for the country. I'm making people patriotic again, and I'm bringing wrestling, and I'm helping these guys. Well, he ended up killing one of the brothers.
Wow.
Because he was just so crazy that he wasn't lucid, and then he lost his mind and killed one of the brothers.
Wow.
Went to jail, died in jail.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, well, so was that a true story?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. You know, you mentioned the Imitation Game the other day, and now I finally figured out which movie it is because I saw the trailer. That's about the Enigma machine during World War II with Alan Turing, who was considered one of the fathers of modern computing.
Mm-hmm.
And that is – so I'm definitely going to see that. You're right. I'm going to
enjoy
that movie. Yeah.
And there's a twist
at
the end.
Like that.
It's fascinating.
It's like cracking the codes of the enemy and all that stuff. So you saw the whole thing,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I'm going to catch that. When is it coming out? Do you know?
Ooh, don't know.
Yeah. I think it's been released only maybe... No, I didn't see
it. Probably.
The
is
theaters.
It out here already?
I thought maybe in L.A. in a couple of theaters, maybe. But I didn't see it, so I don't know. But I can't wait to see that.
It's good.
Yeah, huh?
I can't wait to hear what you think.
Yeah. Okay, well, as soon as it comes out, I'll let you know.
Cool.
You saw the whole thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. All right, well, that's it for today, folks. That's it for this week. We're going to be here back on Tuesday, right? Because your birthday is on Monday. So have a happy birthday, Jen.
Thanks.
Have a happy weekend, everybody, and we'll see you on Tuesday.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.